This is the Radio Broadcast Preview Podcast, and this time around, we're going to hear a little bit of what we will have on the 20th, 21st and 22nd of March on Radio Broadcast as part of AV Festival 2012. A number of midnight-themed music taking us through the night with Nick the Bard with Midnight at the Oasis, Pandit Pranath with Midnight, Hans Reichel with Arrival of the Midnight Queen, and night recordings from Bali with Midnight Plumage. That's followed by Anna Ramos and Rock Jiminy de Cisneros with Four Consecutive Steps Toward the Middle World, and that's made specially for us. Then following Lamont Young and then Frank Brink, we have Mac with Slow for Radio Broadcast. Michael Camella, aka Mac, is an antique phonograph DJ performing on radio and for live events with 100 plus year old crank up phonographs. And here's one of his slow playing records. After that, an old shipping forecast and then a repeat of Tim Maloney with Mr. Suggs's Shiny Beetle Hat. Taking us through the day, some of the things we'll hear is Kenneth Kirshner, Paramananda with a body awareness and relaxation meditation, some Indian Raga, and then Charlie with Busy Doing Nothing, Slow Words and Whatnot for Radio Broadcast. And later in the day, Jem Finer with Long Player, an excerpt for Radio Broadcast where he recorded us four lots of six-hour segments of his long player piece. And Jem Finer is a participant in AV Festival. Full programme details for AV Festival and Radio Broadcast, avfestival.co.uk. And then another piece made specially for us at 8:20 p.m. UK time, these are all UK time, Shangri-La Sound for Radio Broadcast with Leif Elgren. After that, two more pieces made specially for us. Gwilly Edmondes with Hockett at 9:05 p.m. And then at 10 p.m. UK time, Doug Horn with Slow Radio 1. At midnight, Jocelyn Engel with So You Want to Improve Your Speech?
Road. Not road. Road. Oh, bowl. Oh, oak. Oh, vote. O, oppose. O, total. O, token. O, holy. O, hero. O, overcome. O, whatsoever. O, bone. O, bold. O, revolt.
And that's one of many corrections that she has for us. At midnight 35, at the beginning of the 21st of March 2012, Kenneth Goldsmith with Soliloquy, Act 1. And we go to the part in Soliloquy where he explains soliloquy to someone who doesn't know that he's actually recording soliloquy.
But yeah, right, no, here's a new project I'm working on, okay? I'm taking a leap of language. I'm recording everything I'm saying for an entire week. I mean it, no, I'm always talking about the volume of language that's around. I mean, what would your language look like if it was collected? If it was you collected every piece of shit word that you said for an entire week, yeah. And what would it look like? And, you know, what form would it, you know, it would say you just printed it out and put it in a big stack and it's all a visual representation of all that crap you speak all week. That, see, there it's a visual representation of language. It may not be exciting, but it's a great concept. It's, you know, it could, in other words, that could be, I could take the language that I record myself speaking all week. No.
And at 5 a.m. we hear Dawn Chorus with A Difference from Stefan Dillemuth. Taking us into the morning is Zeppelin with What's Ether, Gavin Bryars with an excerpt from Jesus Blood Never Failed Me Yet, Phantom Circuit with Full of Noises Festival, Nula presents some field recordings for radio broadcasts, Other Minds music by Lamont Young, and later on in the day, just before 2 p.m, Irene Moon with Let's Talk Science on Sleep. And she's talking with Dave Armitage about bats and surrounding areas, as you can now hear.
Right. You know, there's a couple of moths that are lactophagous, that, like, they suck the eye juices out of cows and stuff like that. And there's even this one Asian moth that they think it's in the same family as the lactophagous ones, but the eye juice moth that will pierce the skin of, like, soft tissues, particularly in between the fingers or toes or something, and drink blood from there. So it's happened. The vampire moth has happened before too.
That's cool. Yeah, I can't think of any other mammals that are primarily sanguivorous, but I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, they'll drink blood if they have the chance. But there's also multiple species of vampire bats. So there's, I think, three species. And then there's also all of these bats called false vampire bats. And one of the coolest bats, so my favorite bat, is a South American false vampire bat. Its scientific name is probably the coolest scientific name ever, Vampirum spectrum.
And, oh, that's pretty good.
And it's also the world's largest echolocating bat. So bats generally fall into two main groups, the echolocating bats, which are smaller, the ones you typically see, you know, around flying around your house. And then there's the non-echolocating bats, or the mega bats, which are the flying foxes that have, you know, 5 foot long wingspans. But
the flying chihuahuas.
Exactly. Yeah. They look like dogs with wings. They're terrifying, but they only eat fruit. But this bat, Vampirum spectrum, is about as large as a medium-sized flying fox. It's got a wingspan of maybe, let's say, 4 feet, and it eats meat, so it can catch rodents and other bats and just devour them. It's one of the scariest-looking bats.
Do they hunt in packs at all, or are they solitary? Because that would be really terrifying if they actually, like, hunt in packs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of bats that do feed in big groups. Usually they'll fly out of a cave together and then form smaller kind of satellite groups around the main one. But it varies by species. I don't think the false vampire bats forage in groups.
At 3 p.m., Touch AV Radio with Mike presents Sound for Radio Broadcast. 4 p.m., Daniel Menchi for Radio Broadcast. Porous, Radio Between the Lines and Before the EU. Felix Kubin with Mother in the Fridge. Some Assembly Required, a feature on RX. Then Codpaste with People Like Us and Ergo Fizmiz with Nana Muscuri. And then at 8:40 p.m., Radio Broadcast brings us Earworms. Earworms is a show addressing the ongoing problem of the earworm. An earworm is a tune, a song, some sound that you get stuck in your head for hours, days, years. We asked some of our friends what their earworms were.
Thank you.
And then after that, at 9 p.m. UK time, on the 21st of March, Carl Stone, with a radio show made specially for us. Later on in the evening, Janan Vakker with Buddhism and Quantum Physics. A Buddhist speaks about quantum physics. And then on the 22nd of March, at 4:46 a.m., Radio Broadcast presents Safe Harbours. Throughout the month, Radio Broadcast is making selections of theme music that fit the as slow as possible subject of AV Festival, which we are also adhering to in the widest possible sense. Safe Harbours is a collection of seaside, harbour and watery recordings with some other atmospheric recordings that just seem to fit in with this. And this is Alvin Curran with Maritime Rights. AM Phantom Circuit with an interview with Charlemagne Palestine.
Thank you very much indeed for the performance. It's terrific. I heard such words as charming used to describe it.
Charming?
Yeah.
Well, after an hour of like smacking and spacking, it's funny to hear the word charming.
It wasn't one of your most confrontational performances. It was very much in keeping with the setting.
Well, but also it's the instrument isn't a great... It would be sad to use this instrument in a too confrontational way. It's not that kind of an instrument. I mean, I play each instrument specially for itself, but also, as you say, the context. I wasn't here to confront, especially. I was here to demonstrate, which is what I did, actually. I demonstrated a lot of the different registers of the instrument. I even at one point start at the very bottom and to the top, because they'll be going to change some of the higher bells because they're not happy with them, even though it's an instrument that's 100 years old. So it seemed like though I did use the devil's interval quite a bit, which is the augmented fourth, which is one of the unpermitted normally in not only bell music, but in lots of music once upon a time. That's why it got the name the Devil's Interval, which was so well used by Franz Liszt and Busoni. And I love to use it with bells because it does have this sort of dies irae quality. I did bring it out. It was a pleasant picnic-like death. You just didn't know that you're dead now. But I made death into a sunny picnic.
It's probably wrong of me to use the word confrontational. I mean, the way that you explore the instrument you're using at the time is sympathetic to it.
But if you were all in the tower, I mean, if I could imagine in the sense of why I became a carillonneur at the beginning of my life, when I was a young student, first of all, it was financial, just to make a few pennies. But it was to be inside the tower like Quasimodo. And there are times when I have been able to perform a piece where I have like 30 or 40 people in the tower next to the bells. Some of them put on, they need their earplugs, but that's where you should really hear it. So here, the bigger problem, because I was playing some really fabulous overtones that I could hear coming here, but by the time it gets to the picnic, it loses. And that's something that on the physically is impossible for me to transcend. So in another, if I had wanted the piece, a piece to confront the ears and the body the way I prefer actual carillon music to be, it would be to have people in the tower itself.
So you're well used to hearing the music at close range, because as you say, you started off...
Well, then you're not hearing it, you're feeling it. And that's what bells can be magical about, is that when I first became a carilloneur, I was studying a little bit of electronic music, and I was going to a music high school, then a music conservatory. And when I played these bells and I was in the bell and I heard, I felt all these overtones. It wasn't something that I heard, which is a kind of about knowledge. But when you feel it, it's another thing. It's a very visceral experience. And that touched, if we could say that, really touched off my approach. If there's anything more unique about my approach, because they're always trying to put me in the camps of minimalists and all these different, which sometimes I use similar intervals. I can't say that I don't, but also Indians and ancient Greeks, and I don't know, my music, intervals, I didn't invent them. They exist for centuries and centuries.
And at 10:40 a.m., Other Minds with Speaking of Music, an interview with John Cage.
But what I wanted to do tonight, which is different from some of John's previous appearances in January here, was rather than have you perform some of your reading pieces, I thought it would be nice for us to have a conversation about some of the mechanics of how you put your work together.
I'm sure it'll be a pleasure. It's always that with you.
Well, what we're going to do tonight is to sample some of John's recent pieces. There's one called 30 Pieces for Five Orchestras, which utilizes five conductors. We'll hear a bit of that to begin. Then a composition called Music for Nine, or Music for Six, or whatever number of players you employ in the composition. It has a variable scoring. And then a cassette of computer-generated speech music called Essay. On the second half, after intermission, because we're going to need to take a break from all of this stifling hot air in the room, we're going to... we're going to talk about your opera piece, which will be premiered in Frankfurt in November of 1987, something you might want to... consider a trip to Europe for, because it's going to be really quite spectacular. It'll be done in the Frankfurt Opera in a way which no opera previously has been done, and John will show some slides of some of his plans for how he's going to utilize all those German technicians. So.
And that's just a snippet of what we'll be hearing on the 20th, 21st and 22nd of March. Full programme details are at avfestival.co.uk. For Radio Broadcast with AV Festival, hosted by Basic FM.